This is Morning Edition on Vermont Public Radio. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. Good morning. One of the biggest changes to Vermont's landscape came in the middle of the last century with the construction of the interstate highway system. If you are zipping down Interstate 89 today, it might be hard to visualize what the state was like without it. But now a new exhibit at the Vermont History Museum can help you see what that much-forgotten period of time looked like before I-89. It's called Interpreting the Interstates and includes historic photos from before, during, and after Vermont's highway construction. Amanda Gustin is Public Programs Coordinator for the Vermont History Museum, and she joins us now on the line to tell us all about it. And Amanda, thanks for being with us.
Hi, Mitch. Thanks for having me.
Now, first, these images themselves that people will see in the exhibit, where do they come from?
The images are part of University of Vermont's landscape change program. They did a really extraordinary job of collecting photographs of landscapes in Vermont, and they focus on comparative views. And in particular, this project began about 5 years ago, in which a very large cache of photographs taken during the construction of the interstates were scanned and put up online. And that large cache, when I say large, I mean there are 33,000 images. And then people with the Landscape Change Project went out and talked to Vermonters about the interstate. And then they collected those photographs and sort of did a best of and put that together with some interpretive text in the exhibit that we have in the museum today.
I'm curious about that best of. I mean, 33,000 photographs to sift through here.
Yeah.
How did you go about selecting the ones that ended up in the exhibit?
Anytime you get that many images, there are a lot of repeats. So there are some that are the same scene from a very slightly different angle. So they were really selected to illustrate thematic big ideas. There are some really dramatic ones of just a lot of earth being moved to make way for a bridge or a section of highway that had to be blasted through the mountains. Or there's a panel about the openings that were held. Each time a new section of highway was open, they had a band and a ribbon cutting, and people put out folding chairs right on the highway to come listen to speeches. So there's a whole panel of just some of the more fun, quirkier photographs.
It's an interesting time to be showing this exhibit because very recently Vermonters, of course, saw some major dramatic changes in the landscape and in the roads with Tropical Storm Irene.
Yeah, absolutely. And like with Irene, there was a lot of challenges and a lot of controversy. Vermont, as we all know, is not a flat place. It's not like building an interstate highway out in the Midwest would be. In one 23-mile stretch near St. Albans, it took 17,000 cubic yards of concrete, 3 million pounds of reinforced steel, 8 million pounds of structural steel, 38,000 linear feet of steel piping, and 11,000 linear feet of timber pilings. And that's just one small stretch up near St. Albans.
And you say that this was not without controversy. That's true. It's not without tragedy either. Apparently, there was a homeowner in Escutney who actually committed suicide because he couldn't bear to move to clear the land around his house that was needed to build the highway. Were there other examples of protest? Not to that extent, perhaps, but other Vermonters who saw this as an end to a way of life that they didn't want to let go of?
Sure, absolutely. And the first big example of controversy when you're talking about the coming of a major highway system for Vermont was actually the Green Mountain Parkway, which was proposed in the 1930s, which did not get built. There were a lot of the same concerns that are raised later about the interstate highway, that it's going to ruin / destroy our way of life. It's going to have a hugely negative impact on the special natural beauty of Vermont. And that Green Mountain Parkway was defeated in part through protests led by the Green Mountain Club, because it would have dramatically changed the way the Long Trail is today. But the pros are, as always, with a lot of public works projects and a lot of public money is being spent on these things, that it's going to bring more economic benefits to Vermont. It's going to bring more tourists to Vermont. So the gentleman you mentioned, his name is Romain Tenney. There's a stretch of I-91 down, as you said, near Escutney that runs through what had been his family's farm for over 150 years. And it's really just a desperately sad and heartbreaking story. And that he had been saying for some time, I was born in this house and I am going to die in it. And he did, in fact, set his house on fire the day that they meant to come to demolish the house and the outbuildings that had been part of his family's farm to make way for I-91. And his body was found in that house afterward. So he is certainly the most tragic case, but many, many houses were cleared. Some farms were split right in half, and then you have no real easy way to get back and forth between your fields now that there's a massive four-lane highway crossing right down the middle of them. And in Windham County, for example, 340 properties and 2,000 acres, that's just in Windham County, were seized to make way for I-91.
One of the images in the exhibit is of a man standing on a truck. He's hanging signs for the interstate in preparation for its opening. Was there an official date for that opening? What was it like when it debuted?
The interstate was completed in 39 different pieces. So there were openings for each of those segments.
It was a rolling debut, I guess.
It was. Yeah. It was basically 20 years of parties on the interstate. So the first section was completed in 1958. It was a section of I-91 down, starting from the Massachusetts border and going north. But I-91 wasn't completed until 1978. So there's 20 years of construction. And the last piece of the interstate that was completed in Vermont was not completed until 1982, which is that spur of 93 that goes from the New Hampshire border to St. Johnsbury. So there were pieces celebrated as they were constructed.
I hate to ask you this, but is there one image from the exhibit that sticks out in your mind, maybe a favorite?
On the first panel, there is a photograph of a sign. I don't remember the exact wording, but it's basically saying, coming soon to Vermont, the interstate highway system, and it enumerates the federal dollars and the Vermont state dollars being spent. And it's just pounded on wooden posts along the side of this incredibly rutty dirt road in the middle of the forest in what looks to me to be mud season. Because you can sort of see the glistening of the water on the road itself, and in the distance there's an older car. And it's really that juxtaposition of that older Vermont and the new Vermont that's coming.
Amanda Gustin is Public Programs Coordinator for the Vermont History Museum. The exhibit is open now. It runs through mid-April. You can find some of the images in a slideshow on our website, vpr.net. Amanda Gustin, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thanks for having me.